Kim Jones.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Yes, Erica, that's Alexa. I heard a Chris Moore Alexa yesterday and almost drove off the road. It just sounds weird, that voice.
No, I love it. It's just so
ridiculous. You do love it?
Yeah, it's just so ridiculous.
I know.
And I love it.
What's the world we live in is ridiculous, right?
Oh my God. Yeah.
We're now, you know, far be it there be a jingle, but
not
there's Alexa.
Not for you.
Thank you, Erica. It's good to see you.
You too.
Hey, do we got Christy? I'm getting three thumbs up from the two guys in the control room. That makes me very happy. Kim Jones with you till 7. I'm delighted to have Christy Ackert join the program. Christy, of course, covers the Mets for the New York Daily News. And it goes without saying she's terrific, but she's terrific. Christy, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. How should we interpret the Cespedes explanation from the Mets? He's headed to Florida and the process begins again or something. What does that actually mean?
Well, that's a good question. And that's something we've been asking ourselves a lot this year. Mm-hmm. From the sounds of it, is when he's running, he's having, you know, the same tightness issue that he had before. So they're going to start over with, you know, building up his running progression again and doing rehab. So, I mean, basically what that means is I wouldn't expect him for a couple weeks.
After the All-Star break, maybe?
Possibly.
You know,
I mean, that's the sounds of it. I mean, this has not been something that has healed quickly for him, and it's not the first time he's had this issue. So, you know, I'm not optimistic.
Christy, you're there, and obviously I trust your opinion implicitly. What effect does his absence have for a team? You and I both know, everyone knows, there are certain players who set a tone, maybe not always by being the loudest voice, but often by being the loudest bat in this case. What impact does his absence actually have on the Mets?
I think when his bat is in the lineup, there's more of a confidence. There's more of a confidence when you get down that, you know, there's a chance of coming back quickly. I mean, he has the ability to turn a game around very quickly. And I think that there's a confidence that goes throughout the lineup when he's in there. And I think you're seeing the effects of it not being there now. There's, you know, definitely a tightness in that team when, you know, they're not scoring runs. It starts to manifest itself. There's a, you know, just a tightness that they don't have that safety net of a Cespedes home run here or there to help them out. So I think that that's kind of what you see the effect of him not being around. And it's just manifesting itself more and more as they continue to struggle to score runs.
There is such a struggle. And Christy, I'm struck by the post games after the manager, when they get to the clubhouse and it's the starting pitcher, sometimes a relief pitcher as well. And they're explaining, and you know this, they're explaining essentially the one, maybe two mistakes they made. And they just can't be perfect. And listen, I did it. I understand. I'm not at all questioning the reporters or the questions. Mm-hmm. I'm saying these guys are being asked to be perfect, and when they're not, they have to explain it. And that's just not fair in life or in baseball.
No, and it's hard. I mean, you can see them, feeling the pressure of having to be, you know, giving up one run, putting up zeros. I mean, that's something a pitcher says, but with the Mets, it's almost like they have to or they don't have a chance to win.
How do you see this affecting the pitchers? Listen, Jacob DeGrom is still putting up awesome numbers, but do you see this having a lingering effect, even just when they're not, you know, formally talking to reporters at their lockers?
Well, they're pitching high leverage innings every inning.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they say that, you know, the stressful innings are the ones that take the toll on the pitcher. Well, every inning is stressful for these pitchers because they don't have any run support. And, you know, when you're pitching with a 1-0 lead and you think that's all you're going to get, you're going to pitch like you're pitching the 9th inning, the 7th inning, the 8th inning. It's just very high leverage innings, and that puts strain on them constantly when they're out there.
Christy, what do you make of why the offense is what it is? You know, Jay Bruce has 3 home runs. He's in the cleanup spot tonight. He has one. Eddie Coleman texted me, he has one RBI since early May. I mean, how do you explain what's gone on with this offense?
The only thing I can say with Jay is I've had a few scouts tell me that pitchers are pitching him differently this year, and he hasn't adjusted yet. They're going in early on him, then going down and away. and he hasn't adjusted to that. But, you know, he is an incredibly streaky hitter, and they knew that when they signed him. We saw that when he first came here in the trade. So, you know, this is getting to be a pretty long streak, but when you build your lineup around streaky hitters that are supposed to hit home runs, you know, you can go through a really, really bad streak. Now, this is the worst I've ever seen, but, you know, they're prone to that.
And the Conforto situation, is there a plan by the Mets on how to start getting the best out of Michael Conforto, who we've seen have stretches where he's a very, very good baseball player?
You know, they have talked about sending him down to the minors to work on his swing. He has started to, you know, his swing is starting to look like it's looking for more launch angle. Mm-hmm. They want him to start swinging through the ball a little bit more. I've had scouts say that, you know, sending him to the minors is not going to help, because what it looks like to them is a guy who's working on his swing after a long hiatus. Mm. You know, he had a shortened spring training. What they're seeing is they're like, this is a guy that didn't swing all winter.
Right.
You can see that it's kind of the rust is still there. He's still trying to rediscover the same muscle memory again. You know, they think that sending him to the minors will take some pressure off of him. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure that facing minor league pitching is going to do him that much good.
What I don't want to see, Christy, is him somehow become the poster child, for lack of a better description, of what's wrong with the Mets, because he has a lot of company. This is not just Michael Conforto.
Absolutely not. But you can't send Jay Bruce down
right,
to the minors
exactly.
to work on his swing either.
Right, right.
Yeah, I mean, they have a lot of players that need to, you know, produce here, and they're not producing. You know, all the projections for their success this year was on players, everything going right. Mm-hmm. Well, nothing's going right
yes.
now, and we're seeing the results of it.
Right. Christy Ackert of the Daily News with me, Kim Jones. I'm here till 7. I won't keep Christy nearly that long, but I do appreciate her time as she's getting ready to cover the Subway Series tonight. Mets playing host to the Yankees for the third consecutive day. Christy, when you look at... Well, first of all, let me ask you about Noah. I believe they showed him in the dugout last night. You could see like almost a little splint on his finger or something to hold it in place there. Is there an indication when Noah Syndergaard's going to be back on the mound?
You know, I had talked to a doctor when he initially had this. She was surprised that they thought it would be 2 weeks. She had said maybe a month.
Oh my God!
So, you know, I'm not certain if this is going all the way back.
Okay.
But I could see it being another 2 weeks or so. You know, there was some hesitation the other day after he had thrown that you kind of got an indication that they were worried about something.
Yep.
So I'm not sure that they even know. I have never seen this where you have a strain in the ligament in the index finger. These are strange injuries that are popping up now.
Well, I was going to ask, I mean, do they need a seance or something? I mean, do they need, they almost need some sort of a bad luck intervention there, because this is incredible. Like, you and I could conceivably, Christy, for the next hour, go through training stuff, injuries, ailments, guys on the DL, guys who should be on the DL, guys who've been on the DL. Like, what the heck? Do they just throw up their hands when you really ask them about some of this stuff now?
I think sometimes, particularly, Terry Collins had gotten used to it, I think.
Yeah.
I think Mickey Callaway, kind of, when our last road trip, kind of looked at us kind of like in disbelief, like, what's going on here?
Mm.
Yeah, it's unbelievable at times. I mean, how does Steven Matz hurt his finger batting when the bat slips out of his hand? I mean, it's beyond bizarre or bad luck or whatever it is. It's just, it's unbelievable at times. You know, I thought last year covering this team, you were like, okay, nothing more can happen, and always something happened, and it's just continuing this year.
Christy, at the risk of asking you something unfair, because in the meat of a baseball season, I know it's all-encompassing, and you guys work harder covering baseball than I ever did. Believe me, I acknowledge that and understand it. But big picture Mets, how do they fix this?
That's tough. I mean, you know, that's really hard. You've got a team that's built on pitching. They don't have a lot in the minor league system right now. You know, their best prospects are a ways away in the lower levels.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, the best way to fix it quickly is to trade one of your big assets and get a lot of prospects that are close to major league ready.
Right. And the only two who fit that, unless you correct me, are obviously DeGrom and Syndergaard.
Right. Yeah. Those are the only two you have that would bring back organization-changing level prospects.
What is the Wilpon-owned Mets appetite for doing that, as far as you can tell, as we sit here on June 10th?
Right now, I don't think they want to do it. I don't think they really would want to see that happen. I think there's a reality of they may be in a position soon that they're going to have to listen to offers. I think there is that realization that this could happen.
I think listening to offers, I would probably say that would, to me, be the responsible thing to do, right? Because there is a chance that one of these teams that sees a possible World Series this year and knows, in DeGrom's case, they could have him for three postseasons under control.
Right.
Like, you've got to at least listen, Christy, because if someone blows you away, that might be a deal you can't turn down. Might be.
That's the least you can do. It's your due diligence.
Right.
I mean, if you are a GM, that you have to do that. That's your responsibility to at least listen. And, you know, I mean, if they trade one, they have the other to continue on, and then they'll have the position player prospects that they desperately need.
Yeah, and then the thinking, at least on my end, would be then whoever is the guy who's left, let's say it's Syndergaard, then you look to extend him and have him be your number one guy for the foreseeable future as you do build around with this new talent that hopefully can help in the shorter rather than longer term.
Right. They had some talks about extending DeGrom this offseason. They didn't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like DeGrom was pretty convinced that, you know, this is going to be it. This contract will be, you know, it for now. So, you know, it sounds like Syndergaard was the one they were always targeting to extend anyway. So they should at least consider these moves to try and improve their system.
Christy, I'll tell you, and I don't know how much time you spend listening to The Fan, and I'm not going to ask you, because that's your choice, and you can listen to whatever
I hear some of it.
You can listen to whatever the heck you want to listen to. But I've said recently, you know, I'd love to hear now from all the folks who called in hell-bent on wanting Terry Collins gone because he was the problem. The one thing we can conclude, there are many things, but one thing I know we can conclude on at the beginning of June here about the Mets is Terry Collins was not the problem. I'm sorry, he was not.
No, and you can't blame Ray Ramirez for the injuries either, because you know what? The same problems, these are exact same problems we've talked about for the last few years with the Mets. Lineup doesn't hit, you know, bullpen problems, you know, pitchers staying healthy. No, it's not the person who's sitting in the manager's seat that's the problem. These problems seem to be inherent with the Mets. I think you have to make deeper changes.
Do you think they'd be willing to consider that given how poorly this season has gone so quickly?
You know, they haven't in the past. I would say you have to, I mean, any responsible ownership group would have to look at what's happened this year and make changes based off of it. I mean, this has been an unbelievable stretch.
Yeah.
I mean, and it just went off the rails so quickly.
And I don't need to remind you, you know, with 3.5+ months to go, it's a heck of a place to be in a baseball season. Let me ask you this, Christy, before I let you go. I know you have work to do. Is there anything at this point that could provide a glimmer of hope, a reason to start to feel better about the Mets?
I mean, you have to look at their pitching has been good, and
yes,
that was not happening at the beginning of the year. So you have to say, okay, we could turn it around on a strong stretch if the hitting turns around.
Okay.
And that could be as simple as Michael Conforto finding his timing.
It could
Jay
be.
Bruce
yep.
finding his
yep.
timing, figuring out how they're pitching him. So it's just, you know, it could turn around, but they're in a pretty big hole right now.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a pretty bad place to be in right now, and they would have to start turning it around really quickly.
Yeah. Let me quickly follow up. Does Dave Island get some credit for what we've seen from the pitchers?
He has to. He's
okay.
done a great job.
Yep.
I mean, he's done a very good job with them. He's been very, you know, he's made them accountable.
Mm-hmm.
He's been very upfront with them. He's told them exactly what he expects from them. I think you've seen improvements in Steven Matz and Zach
yeah,
Wheeler.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
And, you know, they've let Seth Lugo, you know, fit into a really good niche, and Gesellman. So you have to give Dave Island credit.
Christy, I can't thank you enough. I really enjoyed this. Hopefully across the summer we'll get to chat. But thank you very much, Christy Ackert.
Thank you for having me on. Good to talk to you.
Great talking to you. Christy Ackert, Daily News, covers the Mets very well, has the pulse of the Mets, and it's not good. That's not breaking news. It's not a good situation, and they've got a long way to go in this season. Baseball can be brutal in good times, let alone in not so good times. So I do appreciate Christy's time tonight, as I appreciate Brian Hoke's earlier, and of course that of Woj from ESPN.